could die. David, could you get a glass of water, please? Thank you. Hey, we were going to have just a question and answer time with Leo here and questions about following the Lord. We appreciate the message and the clear pointing to Christ and a new life with Him. Maybe questions about football. Some of you guys got to go. You're welcome. But if you could hang for just a little bit and have some question and answer about following the Lord or something in life that he experienced that reminds him of God's strength in his life. Just an informal time. He's happy to share in fellowship with us. Thank you.
Anybody got a question?
Hey, I'll start off, put you on the spot. Can you just tell us how you got started in devotion and what does that look like in your life right now?
Yeah, when I gave my life to the Lord in 1980, those guys, those young Christian guys, they said, Leo, this is how you grow in the Christian faith. And they taught me how to have a morning devotion. And they, thank you. And they, I started right away with some discipleship materials from Navigators. They got me in the Word, taught me how to pray. You know, a lot of those simple little discipleship books, I still remember, you know, vividly. I remember learning how to pray and to have a real confidence in approaching God in prayer and seeing Him answer prayer. Devotional kind of life has I've carried with me in the last 30 years of walking with the Lord. And my personal time with the Lord is still a highlight of my day. Of course, my time with my bride is a highlight of my day too. My time with the bridegroom, Jesus, is a highlight time in my life. Any football questions? I have another kind of neat football thing that just happened. My buddy Mike Munchak just got hired as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Mike was my college roommate for a year. He's a Hall of Fame player. Played with the Houston Oilers for a long time. And he got promoted from the O-line coach to be the head coach with the Titans. So now I got two shots for my son to play with... with my brother or my old buddy, Mike Munchak. Just kind of cool. I'm sorry. The concussion thing. Well, you know, I certainly don't want to see anybody, you know, get multiple concussions because it's a very dangerous thing. And they say now it's even linked to Lou Gehrig's disease. That maybe even Lou Gehrig had multiple concussions, and that was why that disease manifested itself. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think that the league's current manner of trying to stop that helmet-to-helmet contact is working very well. To me. Roger Goodall is, and I can say this because I don't work for any NFL team, but his decisions to me seem very capricious. You know, to me, if they want to do it right, why don't they put together like a 12-member panel of ex-coaches, players, maybe someone from the league office, and they review these things. And a 12-member panel makes a decision on whether a guy is deserving of a fine or whatnot. It seems to me Roger Goodall is kind of judge and jury and a guy who's never played the game of football. And so he doesn't have much of a sense when you're running full speed across a football field, exactly where your helmet is to be placed and where a guy turns. And it's really kind of ridiculous, in my opinion. But that would be hard to judge, you know, a percentage. I do know this, that, you know, there's always the guys who are chapel attenders, And then there are the guys who are really serious about walking with Christ. And there's usually a big difference between those two numbers. And chapel attendance in the NFL is a pretty, you know, welcome thing. It's not a hard thing to get a lot of guys to come to chapel on Sunday morning to listen to a good speaker. But, you know, to really watch the guys who really walk out their faith day after day, there's usually only a small handful of those guys on a given team. That's my experience. You know, I certainly some of them are, and I think some of them, though, are, you know, kind of have this emotional link to loved ones, you know, who have died, and I think sometimes that's some of the expression. You know, for me, one of the tests of the guys who really know the Lord is if when you get a butt whooping, do you still go and pray with the Christians from the other team? You know, do you walk over there and humble yourself and get down on a knee and put your arm around a brother from the other team and thank the Lord, you know, for your life and what he's done? That's kind of a good litmus test. Okay, the question was, when the Bible describes diverse places and high places, as being sinful or evil. You know what? I think that's a question I'll leave for Bob to, you know, it's certainly in the Old Testament, high places is linked with idol worship, idolatry, and so every vain kind of imagination, you know, is to be cast down, you know, in the Christian life. And so high places are often associated with this kind of like Baal worship in the Old Testament. Any other questions?
What impact did Joe Paul have on your life?
Joe had a big impact on my life. One quick story, when I was a freshman, he called me into his office and he said, "Leo, I think you have a drinking problem." He saw that in Thursday practice, I was often really fatigued. And he knew that Wednesday night was a big party night on campus. And he said, I think you've got a real drinking problem. And he said, "Your grades are terrible. You know, you came here, you were a good student in high school." And I denied it because I was afraid to admit that to him. And he put me in this 10-week class on alcoholism and alcohol abuse. And that class really sobered me up. No pun intended. I had to go to several AA meetings as a part of that class. And I saw where the drinking pattern in my young life was really self-destructive. And maybe I wasn't an alcoholic yet, but I was on my way in that pattern to becoming an alcoholic. And that was about the time that those Christian guys really kind of grabbed me and got a hold of me. And that emptiness in my life was really kind of sinking to a low point. Another quick thing, Joe, our freshman year, we played against Alabama for the national championship. We wanted to be the first team to give him that national championship. He had many undefeated seasons, but didn't have one. And we lost 14-7 to Alabama. For those of you who remember, we had that first and goal on the 1 yard line, and that lousy Barry Krause, he stuck us a couple times, and I had to play with that jerk in Baltimore and Indy. I had to hear about it all the time. But seriously, though, Joe gathered us in the locker room, and he said, "Guys, come on, get in here." And he said, "I am so proud to be identified with you men and to be your head coach. And there's no sense of emptiness in my heart over this season. We left everything on the field." And then he gathered us and he led us in the Lord's Prayer. So that was a big deal, you know, to know that there was a guy that that winning was about a whole lot more than the W's and the championships. And he really believed, though he never used this phrase, I really believe he lived this out more than anybody I knew, that success is not a destination, it is a journey. And so if you love the journey and take care of all the little details every day in the journey, the place that you get to, the destination you get to, will always be a good place. And I think he lived that more than anybody I've ever known.
When do you think he's going to retire?
Bill and I were just talking about that. I think he'll outlast Tommy Bradley probably. I don't know. I think this will be his last season. I really do. He has been incredible in terms of his physical stamina and the sharpness of mind and everything like that. But he is slowing down. I mean, he's 84 and he is slowing down. And I think this will be his last year. Yeah.
Critical thing, or you get to it whenever you can get around to it.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I'm locking arms with my brothers every day, every week. We probably have about 50 guys who are very active in our ministry in weekly small group studies, and then another 50 or more who attend our monthly events. And so I'm blessed that my life is kind of always with the brothers, and I try by God's grace to go to the hard issues, and you know, to ask the tough questions, so that it's an iron sharpens iron kind of thing, you know, where those guys have freedom to ask me, you know, how am I loving and serving my wife, what kind of father am I, you know. Am I spending time with the Lord? You know, what's my prayer life like? So there's a love there, but a accountability as well. And yeah, I'm blessed that I've got a number of brothers in my life like that on a weekly basis. Yeah. I mean, we call that the huddle, you know. And the huddle, you gather, you lock arms, And you encourage each other, but you get a play, and then you go run a play, right? And I like that. That's a good picture of the Christian life. Huddle, love each other, encourage one another, get in the Word, get a play. Now break the huddle and go run a play. Come back, evaluate, right? Re-huddle. I think that's a good picture of what the Christian life is. The Lord doesn't want us to stay in the huddle. We gotta run some plays. We got to run them together, and then we got to evaluate, see how we're doing, and then we huddle up again. That's a good question. I think the Lord used me in some men's lives. I do. For me, it was a short time because I was 3 years where I was a player and starter on the defensive line. My fourth year, I had an ACL reconstruction and was on IR, and I was away from the team. So it was really 3 years. And the first year was the strike shortened year. So that was a half a season. We only played 9 games. That was merciful. We were so bad. We went 0-8-1. So that was a merciful thing for us. So you know, it was a short career for me, but I was very intentional about locking arms with Christians on that team, and I was very intentional about sharing my faith with guys. But in the NFL, it can be a tough environment. Every team has a different culture. You know, the Steelers, the culture on the Steelers is fantastic. They celebrate character. They celebrate unselfishness, you know, but not every team's like that. And there's a lot of teams that, you know, guys are very selfish. Guys are, you know, really party kind of oriented, and there's little leadership. And so every team's got a different culture. And at that time, the culture on our team was not a good culture. You know, you were, as a believer who wanted to walk with the Lord, you were definitely counterculture, you know, on that team at that time.
Amen. Can we thank Leo for sharing with us?
Thank you, guys.